This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On to our next story. So it's a first for the federal government. Putrajaya has filed a civil suit against the Kelantan state government to seek legal recognition of the native land rights of the Temiah Orang Asli in Pos Simpo.
In a statement released on Friday, Attorney General Tommy Thomas said the lawsuit was filed after Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad and the cabinet decided to act on behalf of the Temiah tribe in the state. He also said that the Kelantan government had granted logging licenses to private companies without consulting the community or offering them compensation. And he added that these activities deprive the Orang Asli of their land and resources and cause irreparable damage to the environment.
So to be clear, the AG has said that the beneficiaries of the suit are going to be the Orang Asli, the litigation would be cost-free to them. And he noted that although land, forestry and mining matters fell within the state government's jurisdiction, it was also bound by a paramount and non-delegable duty to protect and preserve the welfare of the Temiah Orang Asli.
The suit also named the State Director of the Lands and Mines Department, State Director of the Forestry Department and five private entities as defendants. Following this, past President Abdul Hadi Awang and others questioned the timing of the lawsuit, which coincides with campaigning for the Cameron Highlands by-election.
Which has also come through from this tweet from KF on Twitter. Is the government suing because they're sincere or merely to fish votes from the Orang Asli? And I think those are valid concerns. The timing of the announcement is something. But if it is fundamentally the right thing to do, if it is going to benefit the people that need the help, then okay, fine, yes, perhaps it's a politically astute move. That doesn't change the fact that it is morally correct.
And for the record as well, Jaringan Kampung Orang Asli Kelantan chairperson, Mustafa Along, who is with the Temiah community, he represents them there. He said discussions between the community in Gua Musang and the Attorney General's Chambers and the Malaysian Bar have been ongoing since last October. And they first sought help from the government back in August when some 200 members of the community went to Putrajaya and gave a letter, I think, over to the Prime Minister.
Yeah, because this is an issue that has been going on for years. I mean, I don't know if this is really going to finally put that full stop on it, but I hope it does. We are going to be speaking with Bah Tony, lawyer and social activist, in order to get more insight into this. You can message us and join the conversation, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are crossing over now to Bah Tony, lawyer and social activist for Orang Asli. We are talking, of course, about the federal government taking action against the Kelantan state government on behalf of the Temiah people. Thank you so much for joining us. So this is the first time that we've seen action being taken on behalf of the Orang Asli since we achieved independence. Why do you think it took so long for this to happen?
To be honest, I don't really know the exact answer, but I mean, all this while, you know, Orang Asli land issue is not a priority of the government, you know. Probably they thought, you know, it was not pressing enough, or the government thought there were other avenues that they wanted to explore first, but now it seems like these avenues seem to have worked. That's the reason I believe, you know, they have taken this action.
Legally, what rights do Orang Asli have over their ancestral lands? How well do laws recognize the claim of Orang Asli to their land?
No, well, not so much in terms of documents, but it has been established by court that Orang Asli, they have rights over the land by virtue of occupation of the land, you know, and control over the land. And, you know, of course, yeah, in the court, they have to corroborate this claim, you know, with oral history, with documents, with control, you know, that they show an action that they have taken to control their land, you know. In cases that Orang Asli have brought up to the court, it has been recognized that Orang Asli have rights over their land at common law, you know. Cases like Sagong Tasi, Muhammad Nohing, you know, clearly shows this. But so the authorities, you know, and the people at large, you know, must accept this, you know, respect these decisions, you know, that have been made by the court, you know, that Orang Asli do have rights at common law, you know, over their land, yeah.
Now, different states have different laws when it comes to land. How well do these laws actually match up to the traditional understanding of Orang Asli, you know, when it comes to the land that they live on?
Okay, there is this law, you know, I mean, with regards to land, the uniform legislation, which is the National Land Code, I mean, this code is all about, is essentially about giving sort of a limit, titled land, you know, individual ownership, etc. And this is in contrast to Orang Asli concept of land ownership, which is essentially communal in nature. It means the whole community owns the land. The land are not subdivided, you know, according to families. So in that respect, there is a kind of sort of a contradiction between the concept of land ownership as envisaged under the National Land Code and as understood by the Orang Asli, you know. But then we have this Act 134, the Aboriginal People Act. This Act provides for the gazetting of Orang Asli Reserve as well as Orang Asli areas, you know. So this recognition, it accords actually, it jives quite well with Orang Asli concept of land ownership, which is communal, because land is not given, you know, individually. You know, it's sort of a usage and ownership is communally, you know, sort of controlled and used by the Orang Asli, by an Orang Asli community. Yeah.
How well have these laws been adhered to?
Well, most of the creation of Orang Asli areas and reserves, you know, have been done through Act 134, the Aboriginal People Act. You know, they call it Tanah Reserve Orang Asli. But and of course, as we know, the effort that has been taken to create these reserves, these areas, you know, has been very slow, and for that reason, you know, Orang Asli, you know, face a lot of issues with regard to the land. You know. In regard to the National Land Code, you know, well, there are some Orang Asli who have been given individual titles, but generally, you know, the Orang Asli do not want individual titles, you know, to their land. You know, what they want is something like a communal ownership. You know, but again, under the National Land Code, under Section 62, there's a provision for creation of a reserve for Orang Asli. You know, in fact, some states, I think including Kelantan, has gazetted Orang Asli Reserve under this Section 62 of the National Land Code. Yeah.
So how then do we balance commercial development and then the protection of Orang Asli heritage?
Okay, I think one thing that, you know, people have to understand is this, you know, Orang Asli are claiming, you know, recognition over the land, you know, over their land, you know, which they have traditionally occupied, used and controlled, you know. So they are not claiming lands, you know, that they do not traditionally occupy or work on, you know. So I don't see any issue here, you know, because commercial development, you know, can take elsewhere, you know, in land that are not worked or occupied by Orang Asli. You know, Orang Asli, as I mentioned, they just want recognition of over land, you know, that traditionally has been theirs, you know.
Right. Is suing the state the best way for the federal government to help the Orang Asli?
I think so. I mean, since all the other avenues do not seem to have worked, you know. So I think, the authorities have no choice, you know, then to initiate this suit, you know.
And what does this move mean for the progression of Orang Asli rights?
Well, very good, you know. I mean, I'm sure many Orang Asli, you know, are delighted, you know, over this move, you know. At least federal government, you know, is very serious about helping the Orang Asli, you know, in regard to the recognition of the land, you know, and because, you know, as I mentioned, you know, those in the authorities, you know, they tend to refute that Orang Asli, you know, have rights over the land at common law, you know. So with the court, you know, with the federal government, you know, initiating this suit, you know, I think it will go a long way into the recognition of Orang Asli rights over the land, you know, which has been the main struggle of various Orang Asli NGOs all this while, you know, yeah.
Would this set a precedent for other states?
Yes, I think so, because land issues, you know, land problems, you know, faced by the Orang Asli are not confined to Kelantan, you know. It happens in all states, you know, where Orang Asli are present, you know, and I hope, you know, this initiative, you know, by the federal government will be a wake-up call, you know, to the other state to seriously, you know, take steps to recognize Orang Asli land rights in their respective states, you know.
So talk to us about the other issues that need to be addressed for the Orang Asli.
Oh, there are many issues, actually, you know. It's just not land, but land is very crucial, you know, to the well-being and the situation of the Orang Asli, you know. I mean, you have poverty among Orang Asli. It's very, very high, you know, the incidence of poverty. So that has to be addressed too. Now, here, in particular, you know, the development model, you know, that has been initiated by the government has to be relooked. Something that shouldn't create dependency on the part of the Orang Asli, you know, something that should help, you know, liberate the Orang Asli, you know, from this problem, you know. You know, I always think, you know, that development for Orang Asli or progress for Orang Asli should, you know, be undertaken, you know, along the lines of what, you know, has been termed as development for freedom, you know. It means it frees the Orang Asli, you know, all the tentacles, you know, all the shackles, you know, that's associated with poverty, you know. And then you have the high dropout rate, you know, in regard to Orang Asli education, you know. You know, whether the curriculum, you know, currently, you know, being taught in Orang Asli or being used in Orang Asli has to be relooked, you know. It has to be, how to say, you know, replan, you know, reshape, you know, to incorporate Orang Asli culture, you know, identity, et cetera, you know. And then you have issues of what they call health, you know, among the Orang Asli. Quite bad, actually, incidences of many diseases which, you know, are easily treatable or curable, you know, still quite prevalent among the Orang Asli issue and other issues as well, you know, in terms of opportunities for Orang Asli, you know, to come out, you know, and get employment, for instance, wealth, creating opportunities, et cetera. And of course, a lot of issues, you know, yeah. But the main thing is, we mentioned, you know, like progress, for instance, you know, it's all tied to land, you know. So without recognition of land, you know, many things, you know, will be difficult, you know, to be implemented or to be carried out to assist the Orang Asli, yeah.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was lawyer and social activist Ba Tony discussing, well, fundamentally what we need to do in order to ensure that the rights of Orang Asli aren't being sidelined. You can, of course, join the conversation, text or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we will be headed to a song. Before we get to the news, it's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.